My guest Timothy White has written extensively about Wilson and the Beach Boys. He first interviewed Wilson 20 years ago. White is the editor-in-chief of Billboard and former senior editor of Rolling Stone. His new book is called The Nearest Faraway Place: Brian Wilson, the Beach Boys, and the Southern California Experience. Wilson is recording again. In fact, Timothy White brought with him a couple of tracks from forthcoming CDs that have not yet been played on radio. Let's hear one of them. This is Sweets for My Sweet from a forthcoming CD called Till the Night Is Gone, paying tribute to the late songwriter Doc Pomus. It'll be released in about a month on Rhino Records.
Sweets for my sweet, sugar for my honey, your tasty kiss thrills me so. Sweets for my sweet, sugar for my honey.
Timothy White, when was the last time you spoke with Brian Wilson?
About a week ago.
How is he doing? What is his mental and physical health like now?
He's in a much happier place than he's been, I'd say, in 15, 20 years. He doesn't have any Svengalis around him anymore, any psychiatrists who write songs with him. He's on a much more even keel in terms of his work and the projects that are laid before him. I mean, he went through a rough time recently, but he's at a happier place because he has more personal autonomy now than he's had in the longest time.
Is he living like a hermit now? Or
No. He's living right in Los Angeles, and, you know, he has a girlfriend, and he comes and goes as he pleases. And it's funny, there was a thing in the West Coast papers a week or more ago about Brian Wilson being missing from a Beach Boys reunion show that took place in Lake Tahoe. And he had no contractual obligation to be at that reunion, and he wasn't anywhere. He was just home. He was over at a mutual friend's house, David Leaf, for dinner on New Year's Day. And the following day, he had friends over to his house for, like a football party watching TV. And he got a call from a friend of his saying, "Hey, Brian, you're missing." I mean, I think that people are a little too presumptuous anymore. I understand it, and I certainly don't fault people for it, but I think they're too quick to feed into the negative aspects of the Brian Wilson myth as a kind of a hapless figure at this point.
Your book is as much about the Beach Boys' father, Murray Wilson, as it is about the boys themselves. He wanted them to be child stars?
He wanted them to be child stars, and he wanted them to make his sort of unfulfilled dream come true.
What was that dream?
He wanted to be a songwriter and an entrepreneur in terms of a kind of a, you know, entertainment impresario. And when he saw the talent they had, he set aside, for the most part, his own songwriting ambitions. He returned to them later, but he set them aside to be a promoter of the Beach Boys, and in many cases he did a pretty good job. He was an uncommonly aggressive guy, but that aggressive attitude took a toll on the boys themselves and their first cousin and their best friend, Al Jardine.
My guest is Timothy White, author of The Nearest Faraway Place, Brian Wilson, the Beach Boys, and the Southern California Experience. More after a short break. This is Fresh Air. We're talking about Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys with Timothy White. One of the things you try to do in your new book is to see how the Beach Boys actually connected with surf culture. I mean, they became famous for their surf songs. What's your explanation for how Brian Wilson, with his fear of the ocean, ended up writing all these important surf songs?
What happened, and it was this was a family kind of a thing, too. Dennis Wilson, Brian's brother, was a loner. And I got to know Dennis Wilson very well over the years, and he was really a searching and kind of unfinished personality, but he used to go down to the beach to sort of hang out as like a teenage vagabond or whatever. But the beach culture at that point in time, the late 50s and early 60s, and surfing was a big part of it. It wasn't this sportive, healthy, sun-kissed outdoor activity that people perceive it as now. As people that I talked to, the early surfers like the late Dewey Weber, explained to me, surf culture at that point in time took a lot of skill to surf, and it was especially hard because they were still surfing on the old hardwood boards and things like that. But more particularly, it was a kind of a vagrant culture in a way, really on the fringes of towns that were very tough, marginal towns in Southern California to begin with. And a lot of people hanging out on the beach, the beachcombers, they were AWOL from the Army. They were on the lam from, unhappy lives elsewhere. And they were really, it was an improvised culture on the beach and very much a bohemian nomad kind of a thing. And Dennis got to know it because of his own sense of being an outcast. And then he'd come back to Brian and to Mike Love, who later on surfed, as Dennis did, and explain his experiences and say, there's something going on here that you guys aren't really aware of, and it's really, really cool. But they didn't pay attention until it came down to specific moments in the studio when they were auditioning for people and showing what they had cooked up as a group, and people weren't terribly impressed, and Dennis stood up and said, surfing is a big thing. What if we did a song about surfing? Brian has this surf tune he's been working on. And they all turned to Dennis, meaning the band turned to Dennis, kind of gaping. And this was not Brian's ambition for himself. He wanted to be the next sort of pop Gershwin. And he wasn't interested in surfing. As you say, he was afraid of the water, had no interest in wave riding, didn't care to learn, wasn't interested in the bohemian culture that Dennis was kind of meandering through. But when he saw the reaction that other people had to Dennis's suggestions, he started to take it seriously.
Well, you actually brought with you a rehearsal session. I believe it's a rehearsal session that the Beach Boys did. Maybe you could play some of that for us and talk with us a little about what you think we might listen for in it.
This is an outtake from the Beach Boys Party album. The Beach Boys are playing California Girls, Hootenanny style, and it's one of the rehearsal sessions for that Beach Boys Party album, which was very important because it was the first time that a usually important rock and roll band had let the public in on its private process and the interpersonal sense they had with each other.
Let's hear it.
And the northern girls with the way they kiss, they keep their boyfriends warm at night. Wish they all could be California. Wish they all could be California. I wish they all could be California girls.
You gonna keep on singing after that?
Okay, rolling.
Sorry, let's just do it.
Hal's been here for 2 hours.
No, it's interesting to hear that. Some of Brian Wilson's best songs are not about the surf culture, but they're songs about, a lonely guy in his room or somebody pining for a lost love, somebody feeling hurt and alone. Was it hard for him to get away from that surf persona and write from a more personal point of view? I mean, hard for him to get that recorded or get it accepted?
It took time. Brian was amazingly prolific, but he never wrote about who he was. He wrote about who he wanted to be. And that was his natural impulse, to take himself to a better place, to a more edifying place. And a lot of these songs about hot rods and surfing, they were fun, mostly because a whole group of people grew up around the process, and Brian was used to songwriting being very lonesome, very isolated, and he saw it didn't need to be that way, and that was fun. Unfortunately, the pressure at that time to crank out more and more of these surf and hot rod hits really became oppressive. this was a point in time when a group like the Beach Boys on Capitol could release 3-4 albums in a given year. That was a common thing. It's not the way we know it now, where people put an album out once every 2 years or 3 years. The amount of songs that Brian wrote and produced, it was just, it's staggering. And in the book, the anecdotal circumstances of all of them are explained.
When the Beach Boys started recording, they were perceived as, you know, helping to define a certain aspect of surf culture. How are their records actually seen within surf culture in California?
They were admired for their harmonies. People liked the ballads. They were a well-regarded band, and they played at the local surf hops and things like that. But you got to understand that in most cases, the surfers themselves weren't making music. An exception is this fella, Dick Dale. He had a group called Dick Dale and the Deltones. He was a surfer. He had a guitar and stereo repair shop. But most surf music, as played by people like Dick Dale, they were instrumentals. They were very aggressive, almost caustic. Volume was a big factor, and they wanted to replicate the sound of the waves, the sensation of surfing. They weren't looking for pop ballads, per se. So the Beach Boys brought something pretty to something that was kind of less pristine.
Now, you've brought with you a tape of a forthcoming CD. Introduce it for us. Tell us something about it.
It's a song called This Could Be the Night, and it's a tribute album to the late Harry Nilsson, you know, another pop songwriter based in Southern California who contributed a lot to that whole school of rock and roll. And it's interesting how much Brian can sound like the Beach Boys. When he made the Pet Sounds album, he made it largely on his own. And that's not necessarily a knock of the Beach Boys, because their sound belongs to the rest of them every bit as much as it does Brian. But it shows how successful Brian was as a kind of an auteur, and the fact that he understood and continues to understand the elements that make his music work best, even when he's working with someone else's song, in this case, Harry Nilsson's song.
Well, Timothy White, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Timothy White is the author of the new book, The Nearest Faraway Place, Brian Wilson, The Beach Boys, and the Southern California Experience. He's editor-in-chief at Billboard magazine. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.